Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today on Hercules and the Space Gods, I'm proud to bring you ET Universal Zone with Mark and Phyllis Brinkerhoff. Greetings and welcome, Mark and Phyllis. How are you today?
Hey, Hercules.
Salutations.
Salutations.
We're fine. There's a little nitchy-notchy when you're talking, like that noise.
While I'm talking, is it still going on?
Yeah, like it's jumping. Like a record jumping on and skipping.
Oh, okay. I can't hear it on this end.
How do we sound? Do we sound okay?
You sound fine.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And since you'll be talking primarily, then my scratches into such a problem. I'm looking forward to what you have to share today.
Oh, thank you. Everybody's listening. I've just posted it at a Facebook link. And Phyllis, you're going to post this message
We just finished working on it. He got it yesterday from late yesterday until this morning, but I called it, I think, what did I call it?
My children need to seek my face.
But what was the date that I put on there?
April 6th, 2023, okay. Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
That's the day we got this new message from Sananda. I went to the ship, and I'll read what we got remote viewing this, or as we call lucidly remote viewing. I went to the ship yesterday on the high 14th planes of Arkvana. So I'm going to read exactly what it says, so I'll just read it because it's very small type for me to read. I lucidly remote viewed this message Thursday, April 6th, 2023, on the 14th plane of the massive Arkvana starship where countless oversouls abide, including yours. Sananda appeared in front of Phyllis and I, where we were sitting on a small sofa big enough for four people. When I say Phyllis, she's in her higher over self body, and I'm in mine. We're in spacesuits. Sorry, etc. like that. We were in a small room, and remember, everyone listening, these people are huge people. They're not like 10-footer. Some of them are very tall. So the small room to us, we have to think in our way of seeing our rooms, like, say, a small room of 10 by 12, you know, that size, but not that size on the ships. Very big. Sananda appeared in front of Phyllis and I, where we were sitting on a small sofa, big enough for four people. They have these space-agey looking furniture. It's beautiful. We were in a small room off of a long corridor hallway with a 200, roughly estimating, foot floor-to-ceiling window on the right side. As I was going to the room, Phyllis was walking with me as her overpart on my left side, and we're walking, and on our right was this massive window, floor to ceiling or higher than high. So I estimate in my Earth sight, 200 feet high. These are massive windows and starships. They're not even windows. They're amazing. But you have to say window. And out in space was this beautiful distance. You could see a galaxy in this deep space areas farther beyond our solar system in our galaxy's arms of the outer galaxy. And then there was other colored forms of light patterns. That's on those high realms. They have beautiful high realms. Okay, so so the big window's on our right side. So we get into the room, and the window is also on the right side when we walked into the doorway, which is an opening. It just opens for you. It's not like a door in Star Trek. It's a vibrational frequency doorway that when you get in front of them, they will open up. If there's a meeting going on, it's closed and no one can get in, you will be told that originally before you get to the door. But when people come towards the door, they will open up, which is just dissipates. It goes, just dissipates. You walk through and it'll close in frequency behind us. So when you turn around, it'll look like a solid door or a wall. But there's an archway that represents the door. So you always know where the doors are. Anyway. I felt I should so people can get the idea of this. So Sananda, he came in basically he materializes in. Sid was smiling and wearing a medium blue shimmering spacesuit, similar to the image they have on my website. Under the, we put him under extraterrestrials, even though he's not an extraterrestrial. So he has a blue shimmering, it's a sparkling, like diamond, like tiny diamonds in the fabric, if you could think of fabric like that. He projected to us when he came in with long golden hair, these beautiful azure-like blue eyes, similar to the blue you would see in the Caribbean Sea, and bronze golden skin tones. So he has a shimmering skin tone of golden tone. And he knew I was typing this info down and was now sitting opposite Phyllis. This is a typo, I'm so sorry. He knew I was typing this info down. And when he sat down, he was sitting opposite Phyllis and I on the sofa. So there was a big sofa, a chair in front of us, and on the right and the left was another chair for other people if they had been in the meeting. So he was sitting in a beautiful oval-shaped futuristic chair, and I was telling Phyllis how it looked. It was like a whitish tones, but then in the fabric effect was shimmering diamond-y-looking sparkles that looked golden to silver with a blue hue with it. It was so beautiful. And the sofa we were sitting on had a more bluer look to it, more blue lavender. With a shimmering fabric-y look. And they seem to, everyone listening, the clothing, the things you're sitting on the ships, change with frequency a little bit. With when we sit on them, they have a shimmering look, but then you could see patterns of color sometimes move through very subtly, and it's energy. It's like reading energy of us, like if your energy field or aura on that ship. I know everyone listening, if you've heard of people who've passed on, they say, oh, people who passed on and you're on the heaven realm, they don't have an aura. And that's not true. I've seen the aura and the frequency still of the souls that are on the other side when I've visited the heaven realms of and seen my parents or my dogs or our friends who've passed on. So there's a frequency still. There's always light because we shine. We shine with light that comes from within us. Okay, so he knew I was typing info down. Okay, so I typed what he said to me in telepathy and spoken words. And as I'm sitting there within my body, my other body, my higher body, I watch him speak. So I watch his mouth move, and I get telepathic vision and imaging of what he's saying all at once. So then I have to translate and put it down. Sometimes he is speaking right there, and I'm writing exactly what he says. We asked him if he had a Good Friday message for our ET Universal Zone podcast listeners. And Sananda acknowledged, yes, I would be happy to give a message of love, hope, and joy to all of my children. And I'm saying, remember, we all are his children, the infinite creator. So I wrote peace, love, and light, Mark. So I'm going to get into the message. Is there anything you want to say to what I said, Phyllis?
That's perfect.
Well,
sorry, there's a typo. I'll have to fix it.
Well, it's the way it was. I typed in.
I'll have to fix it before I upload it later.
It made the sentence sound like strange. That's all. Like a run-on sentence, but not right. Well, everyone who's listening, I know some of you were asking me, are you going to get a message? Well, we did, but it took me 3 days. Because there was different meetings going on, and my friends emailed or called us even on Wednesday, said, did you get a message yet? Have you heard anything? And I had to say no, but I waited like an hour. I waited an hour, and I kept asking, and I kept saying, oh, there's something's going on. So I had to just keep letting it go, everyone.
When he says things going on, that means his own oversoul was preoccupied.
They're doing things that we're not doing
so
down here.
It's not that Sananda couldn't do it. It's that his oversoul had to be in a state where he could be receptive to be able to communicate to Mark to be able to remote view.
Yeah, so like we make a link up.
I just wanted them to know that it wasn't Sananda's inability. It was just the timing.
You know, like people on Earth, right? You know, you got a place to go and people to see and galaxies to find or whatever. But in their way of their doing things, they have many meetings and they go to different galactic meetings or let's call it deep space meetings. That's in between galaxies. And there, that's where you, well, like our group with the, where we are, I'm like, what am I? Like an emissary in a sense to this, to the intergalactic mission, as well as Christ group. So we go to different things that we're doing, and for me to be focused totally, I wait for that link up so that they're not doing other things, jumping around in their telepathy with me. So that's how it works for me. So I'm in the body, lucidly sitting, like in my actual body on the higher realm, seeing through my eyes at the same time, like sitting or laying down on the sofa here, listening and or writing. Or if I'm not laying down, that's when I connect. Then I'll sit and write or type. So today, yesterday we typed. Mm-hmm. Okay, everyone, here, this is a message that Sananda wanted to give to us because he was telling me things throughout the week, what he was going to put in, but I wasn't sure yet how it was going to come in. So he titled this with us, My Children Need to Seek My Face. Okay, so this is a lesson to everyone listening, I know that. And what he's going to mention in here actually works. And I know my friends listening from Long Island have done this in some ways, but this is new information, everyone. Okay, kids? Okay, here we go. This message is for my beloved children everywhere and within all planes, densities, levels, dimensions, and realms, and all of the omniverse. I will focus to my children on the planet Earth for this message, even though it is for all my children everywhere. Now, I will ad-lib here. He said this while he was smiling. So I will say, if you read this later, you know, on the website, it'll have a little parenthesis saying he said smiling. We, he always says we, meaning the infinite triune creator, as Father, Mother, Son, and Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost. We, infinite triune creator, I add that, know your thoughts and feelings as you journey through lifetimes and within all heaven realms. You are never alone. Please remember that. No matter what the fallen beings try to whisper to you, we are with you. Remember, we cannot overtake your belief systems. We all have, you all have free will and can choose to not believe we are here with you or not. We will follow you and not intrude. We wait for you to believe, acknowledge our existence, and ask for help or a sign. When you ask for the Creator to come towards you with love and trust in your heart, we will move towards you, our beloved child, with great fervor. Our joy is your joy. Our love and compassion is endless for all of our beloved children. Souls choose to take on many challenges and tests before they set up a place to be physically born on the earth. Not all challenges are negative either. Many souls choose to have a life mixed with loss, prosperity, love, family, and emotional ups and downs. Why do we choose the challenges, you may wonder? Well, many souls want to learn how to stop negative influences on the first plane. Remember, everyone, this is the first plane. They
want to be the first level of the first plane.
The first level of the first plane. First plane. And everyone, I'm going to add this right now, everyone listening. First plane is where souls come into physical dense bodies and lighter dense bodies in ethereal levels. And when we're on these planes, we basically live and then we die to go on to the next levels and planes. Well, many, he says here, well, many souls want to learn how to stop negative influences on the first plane. They want to learn how to be theirs of other souls and work along with angels. The souls want to be able to chase away negative beings that we call tricksters, influencers, and distractors, and be strong in their spirit to confront and chase away any negative beings on any lower plane and level. That's not just including karma, everyone. That's usually the souls want to do that when they come in. Many souls have faced challenges they set up in their lifetimes, and all have passed. No matter what a soul has faced in a lifetime, many have done everything they know and focused to do good and had love of Creator in their hearts and souls. Our mercy is endless, and our compassion is overflowing to all of our beloved children. We know our children are being manipulated by fallen angels and other beings as they walk on earth. Always ask Creator to forgive those people who have hurt you in any way. Also ask to forgive the fallen beings who may have been pushing people to hurt you through their demonic influencing whispers and shouts, which they direct towards the energy field or aura of a soul. My children, you do not truly know what is surrounding you as you walk your path in life. Remember, I am with you always. I long for you to call to me and ask me to live in your heart. When you do, I will surround and fill you with my love and protection. We know when a soul is in a fearful or depressed state, and that they are not thinking of calling out to us for help. Many times your guardian angels will try to remind you to call out for help to Creator. We also know that many souls are lacking belief, faith, trust, and may doubt we exist at all. Please know that Creator understands what you're going through and will send loving energy to you and angels of peace, angels of hope, and angels of comfort to be near you. Please remember it is always your free will to believe and to open your heart and trust and faith to Infinite Creator, who eternally loves you unceasingly. My children, when you trust in me and I am in your heart, we are friends and work together as my partner, also called bride in ancient scriptures, not meaning a male or female, but my beloved child. I share with my friends information and teachings as I have done in the past and present with my prophets. Yes, you all are my children, and we love you unceasingly forever and never forget that. As my partner and friend, you are my beloved child and my close friend. We are asking our children to seek us in your contemplations, meditations, lucid dreams, and during soul travel. Pray and ask that you long to see Creator's face and look forward with love and anticipation, because we come to you when you least expect it. We, as Triune Creator, remember I add that in parentheses for everyone to know he's talking of the Infinite Creator as one. We, as Triune Creator, can also come to you in a waking vision, lucid dream state, or in an out-of-body heavenly experience. When a soul asks to seek my face, is the best way for us to Creator, he's saying, us, to have a personal connection and a relationship with our child. I'm going to ad-lib here, guys. When he says a heavenly experience, he showed me actually people being, you know, taken in a way out of body with your angels to experience the heavenly realms. You'll actually see them and walk the land and walk the grasses and see the golden paved roads that are there with golden bricks. Huge roads, too. I'm continuing on now. My beloved children, the world as you know it is changing, and for the better. There's nothing... I'm sorry. Hold on, everyone. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I had a typo. I read that wrong. I'm sorry. My typo mind. Okay, I'll start again. My beloved children, the world as you know it is changing, and for the better. There is usually some turmoil before the light shines forth. Trust me, goodness is coming to the earth, and with it, abundance in many ways for all my children. Some of you may have heard, the glory is coming. Well, I say to you now, the glory is here, and has been for many years. And it is the Holy Presence, is manifesting now more powerfully than ever before. My children, the floodgates are opening now, and prepare for your divine inheritance to flow to you. My children, please listen closely to what I am going to tell you now. You can have an experience with Creator and me when you practice all the teachings in this message. My dear children, you have never been forgotten, and you have never been alone. Souls have turned away from us, but we have never turned from our children. We wait for our children to call out to us, and when they do, we never let them go. We treasure each and every one of our children. The world may look confusing right now, but I am with you always. Pray now more than ever for all people on the earth. Pray also for people to ask for forgiveness for all people who have hurt others. Pray that the souls soon repent, which is also a releasing of karma, of their past, present, and future misconducts, including hateful words actions and thoughts they had towards themselves and others. Creator has mercy and compassion for all children, and Creator sends grace and forgives all children who ask from their heart and soul. It is true that fallen angels and negative beings are being controlled and cast out by my children who have awakened to understanding, and when using my name, and I'm putting in parentheses the name, Yehoshua Christ, Jesus Christ, Yeshua Christ, or Sananda Christ, that's the title, that nothing is impossible with Creator. The fallen angels, negative beings, are cast out and run away from you when you declare my name and speak that my holy blood is your protection. I can verify that for sure because I've done it and they run away scared as scared. Next, always praise and give thanks to Creator for all you see, all you have now, all you have had, all you will have in the future, and for all life, everywhere in the omniverse. Try singing a song of praise to Creator. You can make it up and like a child be joyful in your heart. Speaking and singing praise is a beautiful way to get the attention of Creator. Also, fallen angels and negative beings cannot stand a soul praising Creator. They flee from you. Do not doubt and stay strong in your beliefs and trust in Creator always. When your thoughts are on me and the infinite Creator, no harm will come to you. Trust in Creator always, be personal, and speak or pray like you're talking to your father, mother, sister, brother, or best friend. We hear all prayers, thoughts, and words. We know your heart and soul. Therefore, seek Creator and make peace if you feel lost, sad, or alone. Sincerely say you're sorry for any misdeeds, thoughts, transgressions, or actions that you may have hurt others, and ask for forgiveness and mercy. We overflow with mercy and freely give to our children always who sincerely seek us. Finally, ask Creator to give you peace in your soul, understanding and wisdom as you go on your journey through life and all of the omniverse. We send you all love and blessings through your holiday celebrations. Did we, I'm just asking one thing.
Yeah.
This was this page, right? Yes, okay. Okay.
I did it on the bottom, four out of five.
Yep, I'm just looking for something, guys. Okay, here it is.
did I do something wrong?
I think that's a page there.
Okay.
Okay, so here's the last part. We send you all love and blessings through your holiday celebrations. I love you with all of my heart, my children. I am with you forever. Never forget you are loved unceasingly by Infinite Creator. My peace I send to you. My peace I give to you, all my children. Love eternally, Sananda. So that was the full thing, right?
It should be five pages there.
We did that. Okay. Okay. When he says, seek my face, there's actually ancient writings about that, but it's not the way it sounds in the ancient text. It always sounds angry or something, or like, you know, do this or that. He says, seek my face, because I was teaching this, I guess, like 2010 or before that, and people didn't know what I was saying, but it was he was telling me to ask them to seek my face. That's in the Bible. If they want to say Old Testament, just go check it out. But he's saying, as you pray or as you contemplate, meditate before you go to sleep, just say, this is how I've done it, and Phyllis has done it, and people we know have done it, and they had direct experience with Creator. Again, he comes when you don't expect him to, but you do it with your heart open. You just speak it like your mom and dad, and you just go, you know, I long to see you, my infinite Creator. I love you. And say the names if you want. Say Yahweh. Say Yeshua. Say Sananda. Say my beloved. Say like that. Your beloved cries out to you. I will say that when I'm asking for help. I say, infinite Creator, your beloved cries out to you, because we are all the beloved of the infinite Creator, all of us. And so you're saying, my beloved. But then you say, I long. You could say father, mother. I do that. People might say father because they want a dad. And men might say mother because they want mom, you know. So you could say, anyway, creator comes to us. It knows our thoughts. It knows how we feel. It is an androgynous, infinite creator being. People have asked me, have you ever found out where any information where creator's from? But when I've asked Sanando or I've actually asked that back in 1970.
What did you ask?
Ask creator, where do you come from? Because people have asked me, where does creator come from? Does creator know? And I originally, back in those days, back, 1970, my space friend said at that time, there is no other, but even creator once questioned that. When it became, it had this itself. It says, is there anyone else besides me? Am I the only one?
Well, he hasn't found him yet.
And hasn't found anyone, because it is. So how creator is? It's not for us to fathom because it's beyond our understanding and even our earthly brains or space brains or whatever you want to say we have, our soul brains and knowledge, only know that which Creator has manifested from itself for us to experience. As you know, we cannot out-create the Creator. You know, someone tried to do that and pretend to do that, and that one was cast out with his friends. Everyone knows who I'm talking about. But the jealousy, the arrogance and the pride and the ego of trying to outdo and out-create, you can't. We cannot out-create the Creator. Creator created everything. Everything we create is a refraction or a reflection of that which Creator has created, or abstraction of that reflection that we've tried to create something a little different, but it ends up, it's still pieces of creation that Creator has already created.
So some people might say, because I'll be the devil's advocate. Oh, I don't mean that sincerely. Well, did Creator create evil?
No. The evil ones created that anger and jealousy which they brought forth, and that created what we see as the evil. That created the evil on the densest levels here. When they tried their tricking up on the higher planes around the 9th and 10th planes, that is where we reside, and our oversouls reside in 10, 11, 12, and higher and higher and higher. So we create body forms to play in as male, female, or androgynous beings, whatever we want. I mean, you could be a cat person or a horse-like person, whatever you feel. But when those high planes, we were all with love and just exploring and having a great time and learning about things the Creator has manifested everywhere for us to play in, which is what we as souls are to do, is go through all the different realms and densities and dimensional places and experience. Now, angels can do that. Normally, that's their thing. They can do that. But then when the fallen ones, the ones who tried to overthrow and do, got crazy, I don't even know what to say, crazy on Creator, we're saying we're going to outdo, I'm going to build the throne bigger, I'm going to do this higher than, I'm going to create my own heaven realm, I'm going to create my own places. And the Creator was like, okay, kids, you know. But he gave them a timeout. Tools and I called it the timeout, which they showed me.
Maybe we should call it the great timeout.
Yeah, the greatest timeout. Because when you're on the high realm ships and on these higher places, yes, and there's many dimensions, and people know the Akashic frequencies. In space, we have even deeper Akashic frequencies, which the planets have their Akashic frequencies around them. To get deeper space information, you have to go into another whole different level of plane. But so when people are saying, I'm a psychic and I can read the Akashic records here on planet Earth around you, your energy field and soul, and tune into your name on Earth that you have now, and then they tune in to your soul, and that's when they'll see past lives, and they can maybe see a whole visual go by, like a movie, or a 3D movie, and they're in it, like standing there watching it for you, and I'm saying, describing what you're going through as that soul. I've been on the planes where you can rewind, go back, fast forward, but the thing is that that's what it's like on those frequencies. So these creatures, I don't even know what to call them, they're fallen angels, yes, and a lot of them were archangel types as well as other kinds of angels. But when they tried this, to do this and become their own thing, they were jealous of the souls, us, the souls, because we were formed after them. And the Creator wanted the angels to be protectors and like big brothers and sisters to us to guide us in different ways if we go off some levels and it's a little different and denser. We have some guides to go back, and it's fun. We did those because as we learned, we were like little kids learning. And so he wanted the angels to, Creator, not he, it, Creator, wanted the angels to be his guides and, show us around or watch what we're doing. But the other ones who rebelled were jealous. And they rebelled to Creator because they actually didn't want to be babysitters in a way that's the message we would say today. I don't want to be their babysitters, but we don't want to do that. Not all angels do that, but they are protectors, all of them. If we call on Archangel Michael or Archangel Gabriel, our buddies and friends and Raphael and all the others, they will protect and come to us because we're calling with sincerity to them. And they vow with Creator in that energy higher in the planes, high planes of love, that they will protect all the souls, all the kids, all of us, like they're big brothers and sisters to us. So, and I've told others about this in the past, but here's what happens. They were jealous of us, the souls. They were angry. They didn't want to be, babysitters, following us around, or having to beckon to our call, which is what angels do. They do hearken to our voice, according to Creator, but especially your guardians. They're the ones assigned to us. So your guardian is going to hearken to your voice. You've got usually two with you. Sometimes there's more. You have a definite one that takes on a female polarity, comes in with you at birth. When you're being born, she's already with you before you got into the bodies. They're your friends from high planes. They're angelic realm high plane friends. But on the ships, we work with the angels. And that's why some of the space people we are with, a lot of us look similar to angels in looks. That's why in the ancient times, way back, they had to say angels, which means messenger. And I know many people know that. They would say angel of Creator, like an angel from God, or an angel, a messenger. And as space people, we would come in as a messenger. But the shining energy around us would look like angelic, yes, because of the frequency we come from. So in ancient texts, if you see something like that, an angel from Creator would be an angel sent with a message, like Angel Gabriel was sent to talk to Blessed Mother Mary and Joseph, her spouse. So, and they usually tell you, I am the angel Gabriel sent. Or Gabriel was also sent to John the Baptist's father, Zacharias. And they didn't have a J in that ancient time. So it was not John, it was Jan, Johann. And if in the name of Christ is Jesus, was not Jesus at all. That was a Greek translation from 100 years after Yehoshua had risen. So his real name was Yehoshua or Yahshua or Yeshua. That's a short version. And Joseph's stepfather was Yosef. There was no J. I'm going to go back to the angels of rising up. Okay, so now another thing they were jealous about with souls like us, and then all this information, everyone, I know this information from the high planes where I've read in giant, they have all kinds of things that you can read, but sometimes they have giant books, like giants made them. Giant books, so you have to be like 100 feet tall to hold one of them. If you want to be in the physical density of them, holding them, they're big. But I've read them, and I've read some of them, and they had what we would call the old texts related to our ancient Bible on this planet, which is really a story, metaphors, and things that happened, and many stories repeat themselves with different characters in the ancient texts. But I'm going too far. I'm going to go. there are ancient texts and ancient writings all around the planet Earth. And that's where you see different stories are similar, different names of chains that protect the Essen, right? Different names. But some of them are similar. Because Creator can do anything. So if somebody reads a story about a miraculous birth or an ancient this or that, it's not that it has not happened in another time in another flip of this planet, let's say. That's before the one we're on now. We've had four, we're on the fourth flip. Planet is heading, we're on the fourth planet, let's say, fourth, three flips before us. That's fine. And we're getting ready to do it again. But I'm not going to go there. Okay, so the ancient, these fallen beings, before they were cast down, were jealous of the souls who can go on to different levels and procreate. Because we have physical densities, but of a higher physical density frequency, which we would call high etheric, and different etheric levels, so that's in the levels that the souls can do that.
I'm just going to jump in so you can clarify something for the audience. When you said that there had been other births or virgin births or whatever the case might be in the past before,
No, it might be considered that, but sometimes it wasn't that.
But it wouldn't have been the Blessed Mother.
No.
It wasn't an incarnation of the Blessed Mother. The Blessed Mother came in specifically in one incarnation, right?
Yes.
She wasn't incarnated prior to that.
Nope.
So that,
I've talked to her.
That would have been a misnomer if somebody thought, oh, the Blessed Mother, you know, came and did a mission, two flips ago.
No.
That wouldn't have been her.
No, it wasn't her. And the thing is, I know people don't want to hear this, but they like to say, oh, Jesus, Yeshua, had brothers and sisters. No, he didn't. She never had other children. The only one who had children was her spouse, Joseph of Galilee. He had been married before. He was older when he married. That's a betrothed to Mary. Betrothed. Doesn't mean you're married yet. Means they're like being engaged. And while he was betrothed to her and away at building houses in another country, I'll say England because he was known to go, that's where they came from too. And they would go build, he would build houses. He was a builder.
Incidentally, they were not poor.
No, that's another falsehood, which we don't understand why. But he was well-to-do. He was okay. He was like an up-and-coming carpenter.
Yeah.
And I saw many things. I've been out of body. I've been over there. I saw things they wanted me to see. There were snippets of what Yehoshua's life was like as well as Mary. And they were speaking in Aramaic or another language that I didn't understand but was translated in my head as I heard them speak. But he was not broke, let's put it that way. So what happened is it took a couple of years, you know, for that census, everybody. They would make you think it happened in 6 months or 5 days or something. Now everybody gets to the town and get there and put your census in and show who you are. But Yosef wasn't married to Mary, yet she was pregnant. So when he takes her to the census, how's he going to present her? He can't present her as his wife. So she has to come as herself. Because then they would know there was something off with the ancient writings that they had all been following. So everybody's made to think that nobody knew who this Mary was, Miriam. She was known. Her family was known. So when she was three, she was taken to the synagogue or the training teaching place. It's not a synagogue. It was like a training school.
Well, she was the firstborn and only born.
And only.
So she qualified to get advanced teaching.
Yes. And her mother and father were older, which meant 20 years in their life, they never had a child. They had prayed and asked for one, that a child would be blessed to them. And when the time came, Gabriel visited Mary's father. They were separated at the time because they were working. He was working somewhere.
You know, not like divorced.
No, separated, like working. Not in town, not there, a couple, you know, way. And he was told, and Mary's mother was told, that she was going to have a child. And the name of the child would be Miriam, or as we'd call it today, Mary. That she was special without sin. And she's to be taken to the teaching area, the learning, and kept there after she was three. And that's what they did.
So basically
they kept her and trained her.
Basically putting her in a monastery.
Like a monastery, but not in their time. But then their time would have been rabbis and synagogue and Pharisee teachers or whatever in those times.
But no longer a living home.
No, no. After three. Then she was there till she was about 14, roughly, time to leave and go back home. So she wasn't unknown, and that's the secret that people don't, they've hidden with their hidden records that they like to hide so no one sees the truth. But the truth is going to come out, and the truth will come out of who she is and still is today. Because even though we say, oh, she was alive. No, she's alive now. She's alive right now. She will visit you, physically visit you. She can do that, as you know from everyone listening. There's Medjugorje, there's other Fatima. But, again, jumping around. Sorry about that, everyone. She stayed there till she was about 14. And even Zacharias is the father to John the Baptist. This is before John was born. Mary was there. Okay, so he was the one who was a high priest and ministered to her. He would bring food to her. When he opened her chamber door to bring food in to this little girl, she had already been fed by the angels who were there with her. So this is no... And I know from the ships where I come from, everyone on high 12th plane, this is what she does as a soul. She goes into these missions with Sananda, who will bring and put the aspect of himself in as himself. Yeah, we know he's in the little body of baby Yeshua. He's also Sananda up on the high ships too. So it's like when talking about we're aspected forms. So the creator can aspect himself as much as gazillions of times ever and infinity, because he's the creator. It's the creator. Whereas us oversouls, we aspect ourselves in different aspected forms. We could be a cat person in one galaxy, a humanoid in another, a reptilian-looking type one mix over here, and something else that we choose to be. All the while, our oversoul knows everywhere we are, in which aspected form we are within in the omniverse or different universes, as well as levels and planes. And I'm going to get into that interesting teachings in the future, because it's so hard to understand at first. But then when you start thinking about it, you go, "Oh, that makes sense." Your oversoul, everyone listening, I've done the metaphor before, I've given it, it's like a giant salt shaker is what they showed me, right? A big salt shaker filled with salt right to the top. And they said that salt shaker, metaphorically, is you, your oversoul, that's you. All the salt in that shaker are aspects of you in different places, on different planes, in different dimensional planes,
you
in different places.
You might say aspects that are sentient beings.
Oh, it's you.
Yeah, it's
an aspect of you.
Beings just living lives on, in different galaxies, different levels.
And each grain is like an aspect form of us, you know, another galaxy in between. But they said, and one grain in there is you right now on Earth. And I loved when they said that to me, because it was like, yo, it's actually your oversoul that was saying it to me, just saying one aspect, that's you on there. That's you, the oversoul, it's me right now. So when you see it, idea of a metaphorical image like that. It's a soul, a salt with grains all over in the shaker. One aspect is in another omniverse in another galaxy. Another aspect might be right now in an Aetherian form in galaxy Andromeda, let's say. And another aspect is beside you, right here, right now on Earth, And then another frequency aspect might be your higher self on a fourth or fifth plane around the Earth, which is where I came in as a higher self to come into this body from the 10th planes and 11th planes and 12th. Now, I know I have another aspected form of me as a higher self form in another solar system because I've met up with that one. I mean, as soon as you hug yourself or see yourself, you know exactly who you are. And when you hug or get the frequency connection as we do in different ways, you could touch your hand or whatever, you all of a sudden know, oh, and you see through their eyes too. You'll see through their memory of that, of what they've done in that galaxy or that solar system. And the Oversoul knows all of that. It knows where we all are in every aspect. And the other thing about the Oversoul that fascinates me, because I've done it, you connect in, our Oversoul is in this galaxy right now. You have your big Oversoul right now in your solar system where we are. And that's where the Arcvana is, on the outskirts of this solar system, way out past the heliosphere of the sun, where the light of our sun goes out. We have many Arcvanas throughout all the areas. And as Oversouls, we could teleport, go to each one. If you have another life in Galaxy Andromeda right now happening, you have an Oversoul. That's you right there, like a third, fourth, fifth Oversouls. They have these, and you're over there too. And you will be in this Oversoul and Arcvana here around our solar system, and you will telepath or jump telepathically or just teleport to the other Oversoul and another Andromeda Arcvana over that way. When you connect to that Oversoul, you will just walk in, just like bloom, blending in. It's a frequency blend. That's all it is. It's in this way, the only way I could think of to explain this, when Sananda came to visit me as Yehoshua, 1999, 98, like that, he was here in my room in a physical body. I hugged, he kissed me, he hugged me, all that. He dematerialized in diamonds of light right in front of me and left the whole room smelling like frankincense and myrrh with a garden, like lilies of the valley, roses. And that was a Christmas Eve. Yet, when he did that, he just melded away. But he was in his Sananda form on the ship at the same time. So he can project to visit you, any one of us, and any one of you listening, in any moment. And that's where the metaphor of knocking at the door comes in, guys. You've heard that and you've seen images and books. Knocking at the door. Are you ready? Will you be prepared? If he knocks at the door, or suddenly, like me, I turned around, he was in the room with me. The smell was incredible. The energy filled the room. Are you ready to have that experience? Are you humbled in your heart? I'm not kidding. Yeah, I went to my knees when he was behind me. He turned around and he was there. I knew who it was. I went to my knees. Because you know when you're in the presence of your Creator, you will bow or you will humble yourself. You will bow your head in awe, in love, because it's the Infinite Creator right in front of you. If you meet the Creator, I don't know how, you cannot fall to your, start going down on your knee. You will automatically, your soul starts doing it. I was just happening to me like that. He took his hand and he held my hand and I almost felt like I levitated to stand up. I have no weight to my knees pushing me up. He said to me, "That's okay. It's okay." He does that to us on the ships too. Because he's more humble than we are. But he's more powerful than anything. I'm sharing this because I want people to know. I know some people who've actually had an encounter. And it's always that bliss, that love, that euphoric bliss that comes in. But be humble. Be ready in your heart to meet him. You don't want to have any thoughts in your head, "Oh, I'm drinking and I'm having tons of drugs right now," and then he knocks at the door, he suddenly appears to us or comes to us. That's what it means to keep your soul as blemish-free as you can. And that's what Phyllis and I mean when we talk about, oh, doing perpetual repentance. You know what that means to us? Just daily. Just say, even as you're going along, you said a bad thing or had a bad thought about somebody or somebody on TV or whatever. Who knows what people are reading? The people that hurt children. People that are doing horrible things on planet Earth right now. And we want to go, oh, my gosh, I wish I could get there. I would do that to them. And they can't do that to that little kid. Oh, I'll get them. And then we got to go, oh, it's my brothers and sisters. They're just confused. They are being manipulated, being tricked by tricksters, being made to think things or say things. And so we have to forgive. So in our Phyllis's and my perpetual repentance, we just keep saying, you know, I'm sorry I said that. I'm sorry I thought that, dear Creator. Forgive me for that silliness. I'm so sorry. They're my brothers and sisters. And like you, forgive them, for they know now what they do.
Well, you know, I'd like to jump in there on perpetual repentance and just say that it's kind of interesting when you know that the Lord is listening to every single word that you say, which I know. It's like I talk to him all day long. And I'll just say, yeah, I know, I shouldn't have said that, I'm sorry. And that's literally how it goes, because he knows I really am sorry, and I'm just talking to him like he's right there in the room with me. And I think people should just think about it like that. You don't have to get, you know, what's the word, complicated about the whole situation.
It's really simple, because everything with Creator is simple and easy. Everything... like they always tell me on the ships on a long time ago, only people make it complicated. People in their communications, they'll make things more complicated than it really is, like to think towards the infinite Creator. You know, we can't be like in one with the Creator. I know people want to pray that or meditate on that, but what I've been shown is we can't really be in the Creator. We are focusing to in meditation or contemplations, we're in the energy field of the Creator as the beingness of it. Yes, that's where we're one with the Creator. But to be one in thought with the Creator does not happen to us. We are in thought only with what the Creator has created for us to be with, in thoughts of what we see, what we experience, and what we feel on these densities and levels. Because he has shown me how he's within and without. And we're going to go into that in another future thing too, with teachings of that. But he's shown these things to me, how we are within and without. And where we are within is the creation, the total creation that's been manifested for all the children, meaning souls, angels, everyone, to experience and move through as learning. But in the without, that is where we are. We as Creator, he said to me, or it said to me, he, she, said to me, we are without and within. And in the without, no one knows there, not even no angels or souls, because we were in the creation. And we can't out-create the Creator, we cannot, you know, no way. So just knowing that humbles your mind.
It does. And I also want to say when Sananda said in this particular transmission that he wanted us to think of partnering with him, I thought that that was really spectacular, because basically what he was saying is, you know, let's work together in the creation, which is exactly what we do on the highest planes where, you know, Mark is seeing into. We're working with him. But, I mean, you could be given enormous projects that, you know, people would be stunned by.
Yeah.
So then you...
Amazing miracles.
You're sort of like you know, you are godlike in that...
On the highest planes, on the high levels, yes. If you met yourself, you'd say, oh my gosh, it's a God creature there. What's going on? That's God. No, it's not. It's you. A lot of times when people have the near-death experiences, or even a death experience, they're met by their oversoul, which looks like the Creator to them, you know, like a blazing light of light. And that's who we really are. But the thing is many times it is the Creator coming to us in the form of what we expect. Not always the way we think, it's how we expect sometimes that happens. And sometimes an angel meets you first, too. Your guardians will take you out of your body and take you to the realms that have passed the evil place, which we'll call Hades, which is a lower realm. We call the second plane. So just because I'm saying lower realm or this or that, we're in a lower plane, first plane, than their second plane. And that's where the negative stuff is really happening. That's where they were cast to. The first plane is also where they were infiltrated into.
What you just said is, so nobody misheard it, he's talking second plane is where the problems occur, not the you know, yeah, there's bad things going on the first plane, but not all first planes of all planets.
No. No, we'll do that another time. That's what we're writing the book on. Sananda wants these, let's push these out so far. I'm trying to do them with the levels and planes, and I won't get into it this time because I think we have something else I wanted to mention, but we'll get to that in another teaching.
Yeah, I just wanted them to know that the second plane is where all the really...
Flow, yeah. And that's where, to finish our story, with the fallen ones, when they were cast out, I read how they were cast out on these books that we have, or frequencies of book up there, and it was taken out of these Bibles or ancient books here. So it must have been said, but they told me, no, it was taken out. So the creator... Once they tried that little trick, and there was a little war that went on, as we call it, in space and on the high realms, there was a war, a battle, and guess what? All the Oversouls were in it. We were fighting for the light. So some got taken a little bit by the negative ones, but Creator and Sananda has informed me way back, all souls and any Oversouls who fought during that ancient time, which is bazillions and zillions of years ago, you never can fathom, in our Earth thinking of years, have come home. They're not fallen. They're not with them. They were dragged with them. But the ones who are called fallen are angelics as well. Then they become demonics. That's an angel that's also become very negative and evil and hateful. And so they take on a form of anger and hate that flows into their frequency. And that's why they look so ugly to people. They go, oh, the demon was here. But they can fake it and look good.
Okay, we're getting ready for the time.
Okay, I have some things
I want to do. Yeah, on that note, you have a little bit less than 3 minutes. You have 2.5 minutes left.
Okay, can I read this then quickly?
Go on.
I didn't see the time, but I'm sorry. Okay, this is in reference to people who we are friends with, who know how the world is going right now into a strange thing, attacking people and their belief systems or their sexual belief systems, whatever you want to call this, right? Everybody, you've heard of LGBTQ and all that they do. And I'm very close to many friends in that community. So I want people to hear this hope because what they're doing to people is not right. Matthew 19:12. I'm going to read this fast. Jesus said this to his disciples, for there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Isaiah 56:4, verse 5, 4, and 5. For this is what the Lord says, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, I will give them in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. John 10:16-10:26. I have other sheep that do not come from this sheepfold. I must bring them too, and they will listen to my voice, so that there will be one flock and one sheep, shepherd. That is also referencing space beings and other beings.
So basically what he's just said is that even in the Bible, all of this negativity toward homosexuality is...
Everything. Trans, everybody.
Wasn't sanctioned by God.
No. This is man. This is negative beings turning children against each other. Creator thinks everything is beautiful. And my friends who are here in the bodies you chose... You're here for a reason. You all came in for a reason. You chose a body you came into. You got into a body that you could get into, you know, whatever the reason was. But you're here for a reason, and your energy is here for now and for a reason, and you're all needed at this time, everyone. do not have feelings of depression. If you do, cast them away with the mighty blood and holy blood of Christ. They hate that.
And
so
on
they're
that
trying to
note,
deceive us. Yep.
On that very important note, we need to call it a day. Thank you very much,
okay.
Mark, and thank you, Phyllis, and
thank you
all who tuned in. We will connect again very soon. Be well.
Thank you, my loves, everyone.
Amen.
God bless.
Happy Easter.
Anibasu, Braga.
Bye.